Welcome to the Hills. I love greeting our online community around the world and all of you in person in Dallas, West Fort Worth, Keller, North Richland Hills. I'm excited about today, one, because I'm starting what I think is a very important and helpful new series, and because it's Baptism Sunday, and I chose deliberately to put Baptism Sunday at the beginning of this new series. I think that'll make more sense in just a moment. But it's pretty obvious if you're a guest at our church, we place a very high emphasis on baptism. Every time I preach about baptism, I remember a story of a friend of mine named Mike Cope who preached in Abilene for a season. He's in his office and hears a loud commotion. And someone shouts, "A lady is trying to drown herself in our baptistry." He thought it was a joke, but everyone was rushing, so he got up to follow. And it wasn't a joke. A lady from the street who clearly had some mental health struggles had jumped into the baptistry and was trying to hold herself under the water. So Mike rushed in. He noticed in the changing room, the youth minister was putting on waders. Like, "I want to save the lady, but I'm not getting my Old Navy t-shirt wet, okay?" So Mike just jumped up on the communion table and leaned over and literally put his arms under hers and held her until emergency personnel could arrive and take her to get the help that she clearly needed. After a time, everyone had gone except one tall policeman and Mike. And the officer looked at him and said, "You know, this wouldn't happen if y'all would sprinkle." And Mike said he was packing, so he didn't engage him in a theological debate. But if you come into any of our campuses, you're going to see fairly prominently a big baptistry. And you might wonder, well, why? We emphasize baptism because we want to prioritize what we call following the way of Jesus. It is our mission to compel everyone, follow the way of Jesus. Here's how we put it. The Hills Church exists to make and grow followers of Jesus. And we do this together by being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. In other words, we're pretty obsessed with Jesus. And if you ask me why we place such a high value on baptism, the simplest answer I could give you is Jesus did it, and Jesus told us to do it. He's giving his commission to his disciples to go and make followers. And here's what he said: "All power in heaven and earth is given to me. So go, make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've taught you, and I will be with you always, even until the end of this age." That's our mission, to make people that are following the way of Jesus, doing the things that Jesus taught. And it begins with getting baptized. That the marching orders from Jesus include compelling people to march into the waters of baptism with Jesus. It's a launching pad into what we're calling U 2.0. Now, you've heard the phrase, a picture is worth a thousand words. That's especially true when you talk about baptism, because it pictures two things. One, it declares what Jesus did. So, scholars are pretty unilaterally agreed. The very first book in our New Testament that was written is called 1 Corinthians, about 55 AD, 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And in that book, there is what we think is the church's first creed. Now, understand, many people in the ancient world could not read. And so to learn foundational truths, they were taught to memorize. And even skeptical scholars think this creed goes back to just 2 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. I want to read it to you. "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me." Here's the creed. "Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said." You were taught to memorize that. This is the heart of the good news. that Jesus died, was buried, was raised, he dealt with your sin problem, and God planned all this. It was just as God had promised in his scriptures. The good news is not that we can get it right. It is that Jesus made it right for us through his death and burial and resurrection. This is the heart of what we teach and preach. Now you understand, the devil hates everything our church does, but he can tolerate some of it. He can tolerate helping needy people. He can tolerate counseling distressed people, as long as we don't do one thing. Just don't mention the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. But baptism will not let us forget the gospel. It is an acted sermon declaring the most important events in salvation history, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The baptism declares what Jesus did. But it's a declaration full of anticipation because it also declares what Jesus can do for me too. We're calling the series You 2.0. Remember, we want to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what he did. So we talked about how to hear God's voice because we want to be with Jesus. Now we want to talk about how do we become like Jesus. And here's what Jesus said. Baptize potential followers, then teach them what I taught you. Baptism is not the destination. Baptism is the beginning of a life of duplication, of becoming like Jesus. And this new life starts with our participation in his death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism is more than just a symbol. The word used in the Bible is it is a union. You're actually joining Jesus. Colossians 2, when you were baptized, you were buried with Christ and you were raised up with him through your faith in God's power that was shown when he raised Christ from the dead. So when someone is getting baptized, what they're saying is, God, I believe that what you did for Jesus, you will do for me too. Me 2.0. You know, some of the baptismal debates we have today would have been absolutely foreign to the first Christians. Should I get baptized? Do I need to get baptized? They would not have even understood that question. You're asking me, do you need to be buried and raised with Jesus? The New Testament doesn't even consider the notion of an unbaptized Christian. This is how you begin the life of following Jesus. And so, after the very first sermon is preached about the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, the people say, what should we do? And here's what Peter said. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And notice, the emphasis is not on God commanding us to do something. The emphasis is on God promising to do something for us. God wants to do something for us. That's why we're passive in baptism. You don't do anything. When someone comes to me to be baptized, I say, just bend your knees, let me do the rest. That's what God is saying. Just bend your knees to Jesus. Just bow and surrender to Jesus, and then the transforming work of the Holy Spirit is going to be the beginning, the process of changing you into his image. See, baptism is a plunge into the power and the promise of God. It's trusting that the transforming work of the Holy Spirit is going to start helping me become the person I was meant to be. It's a journey I'm going to be on for the rest of my life. In fact, for that matter, I'm going to spend the rest of my life understanding baptism. Do you know most of the verses about baptism in the Bible are written to people who've already been baptized? We're going to spend the rest of our life just understanding the significance of being united to the death and resurrection of Jesus. But here's what I know. The gospel is for me too. Every baptism I witness reminds me that I can be the me I was created to be. And me 1.0, well, I left him in a grave a long time ago. He was buried. That's one reason we immerse. Not only does the word baptism literally mean to immerse, but we're picturing, we're uniting, we're participating in the most important event in history, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Now, I've had the privilege of preaching the gospel in a number of countries in Africa. And what often happens after I preach is people want to get baptized. I have walked with the church on more than one occasion down to the closest river. And the first time I did that, I saw some men pick up sticks and start beating the water. And I said, "Why are you doing that?" And I said, "Well, we're scaring off the crocodiles." I have to confess my commitment to immersion. I had a gut check. But those African brothers and sisters understand the power of the union, death, burial, resurrection. Before you 2.0 can be displayed, you 1.0 needs to be discarded. So let's be specific. What baptism depicts, I say again, is the burial of you 1.0. Now here's one problem. For some people, the gospel isn't good news because they think they're so good. "Well, I think I've been a really good person. That should impress God." No. God is not impressed. God never says, "Well, all you need is a little bit of religion to polish you 1.0. Because here's the thing. Here's what sin does. It cuts you off from God, cuts you off from life. What the Bible says is that you are not sick. You are dead. Ephesians 2:1. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Some years ago, there was a movie starring Harrison Ford called Regarding Henry. And in this movie, he plays a foul person, someone you would almost call a jerk. He cheats in his business as a lawyer. He cheats on his wife. He's so angry, his own daughter can't connect to him. He goes to a store to buy some cigarettes, interrupts a robbery, gets shot. Oxygen's cut off from his brain, goes into a coma. They don't think he's alive. He comes to, he cannot remember who he is. He has to rebuild his whole life. But it's a different life. He reconnects to his wife and they rebuild their marriage. He becomes the father his daughter always wanted. He ultimately quits his law firm because he does not want to lie and be unethical anymore. Now, Hollywood probably didn't mean to, but it actually produced a fairly theologically accurate movie. Because it answers the question, how do you fix a jerk? You kill him and you start over. Baptism doesn't say you need resuscitation. Baptism says you need resurrection. And only God can raise the dead. But before you can have a resurrection, you have to have a burial. This is why the burial of Jesus is important. You know why they buried Jesus? He was dead. He died for your sins. And so baptism is our saying, me 1.0 infected with sin needs to be buried. I'm letting go of who I used to be. But I'm saying nothing I've done can keep God from what he wants to do in me. Romans 6:4, we were baptized, we were buried with Christ, and we shared his death. So just as Christ was raised from the dead by the wonderful power of the Father, we also can live a new life. Here's what he's saying, that God can raise anybody because God can bury anything. I told you last week, Jesus didn't just die for small sins. He died for all sins. God can bury anything. You've seen maybe pictures of Mount Everest, the tallest place on the earth, 29,000 feet high. But you probably haven't heard of the deepest place on the earth. It's the Mariana Trench in the Pacific. It's 36,000 feet deep. What that means is you could take Everest and you could put it in the trench and it would still be covered by thousands of feet of water. Here's my point. You never will do anything that cannot be buried and covered in the blood of Jesus. Prophet Micah saw this and said, you will throw away all our sins into the deepest part of the sea. So the past is part of who you were, but it doesn't get to decide who you will become. You really can't become like Jesus. But we got to bury you 1.0, and then we've got to raise up you 2.0. That's what baptism depicts. The burial of 1.0, the birth of you 2.0. So you're not just asking God to bury the past, you're asking God to give you the power to live a new kind of future. You're not just washing away what sin did. You are taking away sin's power to tell you what to do anymore. Titus 3, he saved us not because of righteous things we'd done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, and he gave us, watch, new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. And in the weeks ahead, we're going to talk more about how, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I can be the 2.0 versions of ourselves. But first, I want to tell you about a trip. Right before COVID shut the world down, my wife and I were on our way to Europe to speak to some missionaries. And right across the Mediterranean Sea is a place called Carthage. And I wanted to see some things in Carthage because I knew it was historically significant. Carthage was founded by Philistines. You remember them in the Bible? They got on their boats and they went and started the city of Carthage. We actually went to a site where there was an altar where they offered their babies to their gods. You little bitty caskets of babies were all around. It was gut-wrenching. You know now why God said, drive those people out. We went to a Roman ruins. They are absolutely stunning. In fact, the second or third largest amphitheater of the Romans that we know of was built there. And we went into the cells where Christians were kept and killed in that amphitheater. But the most significant site, there's no brochures, there's no signs. Remember, this is a Muslim government. So you're driving down a road and you see this, a bunch of columns in a field, all by themselves. One of the most important places in Christian history, that is the ruins of the Church of Carthage. Remember, for the first several hundred years, the heart and center of Christianity was Africa. This was the largest church in Africa. And important things happened there. It was in Carthage in 397. We have the first official record. What are the books of the New Testament? The Third Synod of Carthage wrote it down and decided. Your New Testament, right there, is where it was put together. And then around the corner, we found this. The old baptistry. You go down that tunnel. It's called the Gate of Death. You go down about 50 to 60 feet, and you can see there, filled now with dirt, was the church's baptistry. You could see how deep it was. The church would get above and watch. And then after you were baptized, you would go up a different tunnel. Oh, not the gate of death. No, you went up the gate of life. And typically, they wouldn't let you wear your old clothes. They would give you new clothes. You think we spend a lot on buildings. They were making a point with their architecture. You are being buried. And a completely new you is beginning today. The gospel will take you where you are, but it won't let you stay there. In baptism, we bury 1.0. We're raised to 2.0 life by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is going to relentlessly prompt us and enable us to become more like Jesus. Again, we'll talk more about this in the next few weeks. But right now, I want you to hear this. You got to pick a story. There are so many narratives out there that try to explain the world. Here's our story. That God saw a world dead because of sin, and he wouldn't give up. And in Jesus Christ, who became flesh and blood, he conquered sin and death through the death and the burial and the resurrection of his Son. Sin's power has been broken, death has been defeated. This same Son will return and set up his kingdom on the earth, and all will be made right. Now, that's the story I choose. That's the story that makes the most sense to me. That's the story I'm going to live for. And in baptism, you are pledging allegiance to that story. And the best advice I could give you today is the advice Ananias gave to Saul of Tarsus when he met Jesus. What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. That's what Tanner did. Remember our beloved E.J. Brown, who left last fall to go and pastor a church in Tacoma? Well, last Easter Sunday at that church, they had a number of baptisms. There's a young man in that church. His father's not a believer, but he came under conviction of Jesus Christ. His mom and his brother brought him, and Tanner came to get baptized. Tanner is 18 years old. Tanner has cerebral palsy. He was not going to let anything stop him from doing what he wanted to do. He had chosen the story of Jesus. So Tanner was immersed. He was buried. He was raised. You can tell he's pretty happy about the whole situation. EJ was sharing that with me, and then he said, and you know what? Inspired by his decision, three more people in that church have told EJ, we're coming to get baptized too. It's one reason we have days like today. Jesus' resurrection had witnesses. Your resurrection should have witnesses too. And so, this is your day. And I am going to unashamedly call all of you that haven't yet to come and get baptized. I know some of you are thinking, but now I was baptized as a baby. Yes, your parents were dedicating you to Jesus, but you have to choose the story. You have to decide it's your story. You need to publicly declare the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus are going to be my story and my identity. And so go ahead and fulfill what your parents always hoped and come and get baptized. I understand there's some fear involved coming in front of a lot of people. Maybe you're a little afraid of water. Let me just tell you, following the way of Jesus demands courage. Jesus is going to ask us to do a lot of hard things, but he's worth it. His story is worth it. It's the time to step out of the past and step into what's coming. Let me ask everybody to step up, stand up, every campus. Please stand up. If you're on a baptism team, come on and come forward. One last thing. Somebody's thinking right now, well, I didn't come to church today planning to get baptized. 3,000 people, the first sermon, weren't planning to get baptized, and they did. That's how it works. What if today was on God's calendar, even though you didn't know it was on yours? And is it possible that all of heaven is waiting to meet you too? And so, what are you waiting for? Get up, or in your case, step out and come down and get baptized. Please come.